Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. It's Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. How many times have you seen a heart-tugging video on television that's urging you to support, you know, feeding hungry kids in Africa or help digging wells in the Middle East or some other worthy cause? How many times have you donated to those causes over the year? But do you really know where that money goes? Well, sure, Brother Bob, it goes to those causes other than just a little bit we're told for administrative purposes. Are you sure? Have you checked? I know when I was working in an administrative capacity for the American Red Cross 20-some years ago, they maintained that 90% of their donations reached the intended target for the donation. Back then, like I said, I can only attest to what was happening back in the mid-1990s. I can't say for sure what it is today, but they kept back 10% for administrative expenses. But if you really dig, most nonprofits don't do that today. And to help in that area and to allow you to donate to various projects that are on your heart, I've invited Christopher Jones to join us today to tell us about his Mall of Hope as well as a few other things he has going on. The Mall of Hope operates on that 10%, 90% principle, something that really is almost unheard of in nonprofits today. And to discuss this and some other things he has set up to be a blessing to others, help me welcome to the program, Christopher Jones. Christopher, thank you for coming on the program to share all about your vision and what you're doing to impact this world in a positive way.
Thank you for letting me be on air with you.
Amen. Now, the first question, other than that brief information I just heard, I always ask is, can you tell us in your own words, who is Christopher Jones?
Well, Christopher Jones is an introvert by nature, an INFJ to be precise, who spent 8 years planning on a way to benefit the world around me because, you know, you can't take everything with you when your time ends. But what you leave behind is what is there for you.
Amen. And what motivated you to do what you're doing now?
Honestly, I got tired of hearing about all the stuff on the news about nonprofits taking more money than they should be taking and how directors were getting so much money. Because, I mean, like, if you look at it, just in 2020 alone, there are directors who are getting several million dollars when, in my opinion, they shouldn't be getting that.
Yeah, amen, amen. Well, what led you to take on this enormous project of creating the Mall of Hope? I mean, most nonprofits focus on, you know, one thing, like digging wells or feeding the homeless, but you're taking on an entire gamut of things. How did you come with that idea?
Well, it was pretty easy. If you think about it, every nonprofit out there, they focus on just one issue, and then they really don't solve that issue because one issue always trickles into another issue. If you're homeless, it usually starts from having a job that you got laid off from or whatever, which is especially true in this current circumstance. And then those individuals who lost their job try to find work, and they maybe not find work, and then they get evicted, and then after exhausting all other options, they become homeless, and then they kind of give up on solving it. So if we take everything and find a way to work together, maybe then we can actually solve the problems for the first time in generations.
Amen. And how long have you been planning this nonprofit that you're using right now? I know you started several years ago, but how long have you been in the planning and development of this?
I have been planning this since exactly 8 years ago today. That's why I actually decided to do it.
Yep. Amen. Amen. 8 years in the planning. And just walk us through some of the challenges that you faced in developing this system.
Well, the biggest challenge was I wanted to create a nonprofit that wouldn't completely require donations to survive and would also be self-sustaining while making a perpetual solution. So to do that, there was a lot of factors involved. One of the factors is how can you create a steady funding source without needing to constantly badger people for donations? And I thought about it, and I came up with two different concepts, one being an employment platform that would automate the process, and another one being a burial ancestry type thing. You get to learn about your loved ones through your loved ones, both of which are key elements to what generates a good funding source for the nonprofit, because there will always be a time when our life expires and there will always be people looking for work in order to pay bills and to survive.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I remember when I was growing up, my dad always told me he wanted me to be a lawyer, a doctor, or a mortician. He said, because you never run out of business. You get them while they're coming, get them while they're here, or get them when they're gone. You know, and so I understand what you're talking about with, you know, everyone needs a job, and then everyone will be facing death at some point in time. Amen. But you're not finished there. That's just two aspects, okay? Tell us how all this ties together with your Mall of Hope and what you have going on.
Yeah, so in essence, there's a few things that go in play here. For the Nova Hire, that would generate 40% of net profits from that for-profit thing to the nonprofit. And then for Cherish These Words, the ancestry would generate 40% of the net profits to the nonprofit. And then the nonprofit would generate its own stuff from normal donations, and that's where the 90-10 goes into play, because I want to guarantee that 90% of whatever people donate actually goes to the worthy cause, and that you get the option to choose what your heart tells you that you should be funding, whether that's helping to eliminate poverty in Africa or if that's helping people who can't afford to take care of their pets for a surgery or whatever to be able to go through a system that allow for them to get direct assistance through different veterinary clinics and so forth.
Amen. Amen. So when people go to the for-profit activities, the one both the employment and the one both the burial memorials, 40% of each of those, their donations get credited to the nonprofit.
Correct.
Right? That's how you are ensuring the continued operations for the nonprofit. You know, most nonprofits, as you said in the beginning, most nonprofits pay huge salaries to their heads and the staff as compared to percentages being distributed to the causes, right?
Definitely. And that is why one of the key elements in what I'm doing here is the two outside sources being the for-profit generating to the nonprofit. That is where individuals who work there will be donating their time. That will allow us to cut down the cost in the nonprofit. And then we can eliminate almost all of the funds going, with the exception of an on-site manager and a secretary of sorts. And those are really the only two expenses. So if you figure that we can cut out millions of dollars in upkeep and only have to deal with, like, let's say, $50,000 to $100,000 when this is all up and running, that would be a lot more effective than throwing out millions, billions of dollars in a lifetime of a nonprofit to not actually solving the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And do many other nonprofits run basically a side business to generate funds, or do they rely solely on donations for their support?
In my opinion, it's just they rely too much on donations. Because even if they sell, like, clothing or ties or whatever, they're still pretty much not really creating a steady source. They're depending on sales and they're depending on this or that. But if we were to take and create an employment solution, for example, and then make it where the person can set up their resume and all that and auto-apply for jobs based on their criteria, because after all, employment is just like a dating thing almost. You got to be happy with your employer and the employer has to be happy with you. And you're not going to take a job that you don't feel suited to, or they don't offer what you need to survive. And the same thing goes the other way. So why would you want to go do an interview if it's just not going to work out?
And tell us how that works with the you know, someone goes to your platform to look for a job, or an employer has a job that he wants to help advertise or to advertise through you. Tell us how that works.
And the basics how that works is, after it's completely past the beta stages where it's at right now, an employer would be able to post a job and automatically see candidates that meet their criteria at the same moment they post that. They would be able to go through the three different levels of hiring without actually having to do an interview, because you've already answered the questions that are the top 100 questions that have to interview. And then all your skills and programs and stuff you know how to do already described. And then so is your performance, just like Indeed does, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But they don't do it to this level, because they just do it like, how good are you with web design, and answer this yes or no questions or whatever. And the same thing goes for marketing and such. But if we can cut out all the issues, like you only take a job that pays hourly at, say, $25 an hour or more, you only take a job that will pay and provide you with health insurance. Well, if you don't have them giving that, you're going to these interviews that you normally would spend the gas money and maybe eat out while you're going to the interview and so forth. And that's just a waste of your time and your money. But if you can do it this way, you cut out all that waste of time and money while knowing that 40% of what you're doing as you're looking for work is going towards changing the world around us.
Amen. So when an employer more or less advertises or promotes the job they have open on your platform, they post the requirements, they post a series of questions that they want people to answer. How does the platform identify the answers and connect that to people applying for a job?
It runs on four variables. You have the primary ones, which are the very minimum you'll take before you take on a partnership between the employee and the employer. And then you have the sub-primary ones that counts for 25% of the ratio of what you would like to have. And then you have the optional ones that are more like you don't need them per se, but, you know, it'd be nice if you knew, like, say, Spanish, if you only know English, like me. But, that's pretty much how it works. It works on a ratio of 50% requirement for primary, 25% requirement for sub-primary, 10% for optionable stuff like certain skills, programs, and such. And then you have the other ratio percentage is going to be coming in later, which will be dealing with verification of skills. Rather than saying, like, you have 5 years in web design, it should be more along the lines of, how good is your assessment? Because what if, say, for example, you say, I have 5 years, I worked for this company, but really you only did an hour a week for 5 years. Mm. Do you really say you have 5 years experience, or do you say that you only have so many hours of experience? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Amen. So the software takes the answers provided by the applicant, I guess you could say, and then it generates a list of jobs that the applicant matches, or they have to go in and look for the specific job and then apply to that, and then the software
it automatically
the employer.
Does it.
Yeah, okay.
It cross compares the 2,000 variables from you and the 2,000 variables from the employer side.
Wow, 2,000 variables. Wow. That's amazing. Golly.
Like, to give you a little bit better idea, it runs on 1,088 skills, 100 questions the interviewer can look at for each stage of the interviewing process, which is based on the top 100 asked in the interview, 29 qualified jobs where you say yes or no to, like, for example, are you a doctor, a lawyer, so you have to have the education and so forth, mm-hmm. 75 programs, 100 languages, 9 job types like salary, hourly, gigs, commission, so forth, 14 benefits like health, dental, life, 258 certificates, 213 country selector, and 12 education levels.
Amen. Amen. That's a quite an extensive list. Wow. And let's talk about your other for-profit company, Cherish These Words. I found that interesting because it was created a memorial that you prepare now while you're still alive that will bless your family for decades or more after you pass on. Tell us about this Cherish These Words program. What is it and how does it work?
Yeah, to start off with, it came off when my sister had passed away, and there's a big circumstance revolving around the fact that, like, she was always drinking and all that, so she got removed out of the family and then couldn't see her kids. And when she passed away, there was a lot of turmoil in essence, and then her fiancé at that time believed in burial while she was cremated. So there's a little bit of a religious conflict as well. But I wanted to create something that would solve that, so I created an invention that combines coffin memorial urn all in one with a solar-powered audio playback system, so you can listen to your loved one's voice when you pay your respects, and also create an online presence where you can get to learn from them, like likes, mottos, inspirations, life lessons, pretty much what you would like to know from them that you normally want to get, like from ancestry or whatever, because they only tell you about facts and historical information.
So it's, tell us about this solar powered. What is that?
You utilize the solar energy from the sun that is stored into an internal charging mechanism that allows you to listen to your loved one's voice through waterproof speakers.
Okay. All right. Is it video as well or just audio?
That would just be audio for that. Okay. But on the website, it would be video and audio.
Okay.
The product is obviously outside of that.
Okay. Okay. Okay, that's why I want to make that distinction. Okay, because I was wondering about that, how that would play like in the cemetery. So, amen. And when you developed this, what, how important is it for someone who's grieving to be able to hear the voice of their loved one?
It's very important because sometimes you begin to, like, after so many years, you begin to forget how they sound. And then you be like, oh, I wish I remember how much my grandmother loved me or what she used to say or stuff like that, because I can't remember. Like, it's on the tip of my head, but it's gone. But with this, you'll always be able to play a message that they leave behind, so you can always feel like you're right there listening to them and such.
Amen. Amen. That's really a great concept. Amen. Now, the Mall of Hope has several different platforms attached to it. That's why it's like a mall, right? And you can find different things,
yep,
different stores, if you will. But there'll be something there that interests you, just like at the regular mall. There might be 300 stores in a regular mall, but I might only go in two, you know. But so you can find something there that interests you, that you want to support these different outreaches, these different nonprofits, these different things that you want to support, while somebody else may be interested in something else. And can you just give us some examples of the different opportunities to sow into other people's lives and different causes that you have on the Mall of Hope?
Yeah, definitely. The first one would be a modified restroom for the hearing impaired. And I got this idea actually from watching a TV show called Switched at Birth, where the one girl couldn't hear anything and knew sign language and all that, but she wanted to work in a restaurant. And it shows different issues that arise from her trying to work in the restaurant, like backing into someone who's carrying food and all that. So by modifying that, we can create a restaurant to enable new opportunities to people with disabilities.
Hmm.
And use that as a groundbreaking effort to start to show that there's ways that we can make new opportunities for people with different disabilities to go into different industries, starting with a restaurant, using the proceeds from that to go into something else, and then just making it where everything is more, you know, equal opportunity employment. Mm-hmm. Even though they say it is, it really isn't. And then the next one would be, if we were to take veterinary clinics and have them work together, they can provide direct assistance to families who can't provide for surgeries and so forth. Have that run through the nonprofit's attached deductible donation based on a mutually agreed upon value from multiple veterinary clinics, legal processing, and all that other stuff. And that would be where you know that 100% of the amount in that section is going to the actual cause.
Yeah.
And then people,
amen,
who donate to that, if that place has already matched out their quota, what they're willing to do each year or for that year, then they can say that there's this person candidate who's looking for help, and then they can go through that side of the funding source through the 90-10, like I had discussed before. And then those individuals who couldn't normally afford it would now have the opportunity to get, like, let's say their pet has cancer in the eye and has to be removed or something like that. Who knows what the circumstance might be, but people who have PTSD and such, they depend on their animals because that's what gives them the love and the affection to want to stay alive and all that.
Amen. I understand that completely with my military background. Amen. What other nonprofits do you have? And not the nonprofit, but what other opportunities do you have? Like the most popular
I have another
ones.
Thing. Yeah, another one that I want to work on is a modified sand design. Because, see, we're running out of normal sand for beaches and all that because we use it for construction materials. Mm. And we can't use, like, say, desert sand because it's too fine. And they can't cohesively connect to the materials that are used in the construction. Okay. But what if we were to take one of the other issues with this plastic and then try to design a combination of melting a little bit of the plastic that's in this world that's just sitting there with the desert sand to create a new opportunity to be able to create a new type of sand that can cut down on us messing with the normal sand. And actually start solving the problems that we have between plastic and desert sand not being usable.
Amen. I mean, how'd you come up with that idea?
I don't know. It's all God's will, whatever I come up with.
That is awesome. That's an I mean, that takes care of two problems with one solution. Amen. Amen. That is awesome. Have you had anybody reach out to you about that concept yet? Because that, I think, is awesome.
Pretty much this is the first thing I'm going live on.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. What else you got?
For the poverty in Africa, what if all the nations were to transfer over electronic stuff and have people who in Africa take apart those electronics and then we can reuse the different parts of those electronics and now people who are trying to live on $3 to survive can now make their own living and be able to survive that way. Which would literally completely destroy the donate so much a week for you to help support a family in Africa. No offense, guys, but the goal with a nonprofit is actually to solve the problem and make it where they can take care of themselves.
Amen. And teach them a skill. Amen.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, amen. Because, you know, what's the saying? If you give a man a fish, you feed him for the day, but if you teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime.
That's exactly right, and that's really what the goal is, because if we want to ever truly solve the problems, we got to find a way to make it where it's almost automatic. The solution is always perpetually solving itself, because one issue is solving another issue, and it spins around into three different types of issues.
Yeah, amen, amen. What's another popular one that you want to promote?
Another one that I want to work on is a mattress solution because, you know, how many times do we end up replacing a mattress because one part gets damaged and then we end up throwing it to a landfill? It takes up all this space. But what if we could actually be able to wash the mattress, even if you're elderly, be able to move your mattress because it wouldn't be in such big increments? And then you can take the part that is damaged and replace that part. And this will completely cut down on the landfills a whole bunch and allow you to save tons of money and even customize the shape and all that of your mattress.
Amen. And I'm taking that you'd have a method of sanitizing and sterilizing all that stuff included in your production? Yeah. Amen. That's a good idea. Cause,
every part would be divided based upon the different pieces of that mattress. Yeah. And then certain parts would be washable, obviously. Some parts won't be because some things, if you put it in the water or whatever, it's completely destroyed. But for the parts that can be washable, then you do that. And the parts that are no longer usable, there should be a way that you can send that in and get some type of credit and then use that for something else, whether it's after being cleaned properly and all that. We can use that for, say, seed starters for plants and all that or something like that.
Amen. Amen. I know you got a lot of different projects on there. Give us a couple more. I'm telling you, folks, when I reviewed Christopher's website, I was blown away. And he's got videos describing each one of these things, okay? So it's not just like, you know, he's got a list, say, here, pick what you want. He has a video that you can listen to that will describe in detail what he's sharing with us here. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's portion of my interview with Christopher Jones, the founder of the Mall of Hope. I'm telling you, I have seen a lot of nonprofits that address a single cause or maybe two, but I've never seen one offer people an opportunity to address so many different issues. Not only is Christopher giving you a chance to impact so many different causes, but he's not just going to address the symptoms, but offer solutions, long-lasting solutions, to some of the world's largest problems in poor areas of the world. Amen? I encourage you, go down in the show notes, click the links, check out the Mall of Hope. Use the main URL to see all of the various projects. Each has its own specific URL, but they can all be found at www.christopherwaynejones.com. That URL again is www.christopherwaynejones.com. Just go down below, click the link, find out how you can become involved in something bigger than yourself today. Amen? And be sure to come back for an amazing part two to this great interview with Christopher Jones. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.